Hey there, my name's Ampala Kasumba, back at you with episode 52 of the podcast Navigating Life with God. Thank you so much for listening in. I ask that you continue to listen to future episodes and even those that are already up that you have not listened to, and make sure to tell somebody else so that they can listen to the podcast as well, okay? But hey, I want to know, how are you? How are you doing? How's your day been? How's 2022 treating you? Come on, okay? Listen, whatever you are going through, whatever is happening in your life, whether you are progressing, whether you are having a tough time, I want you to keep holding on to God. Do not get too comfortable. And I think that is something that we mainly, you know, find ourselves doing, is getting comfortable in the pain, getting comfortable in the good things, that we lose sight of the journey, the process. And we have to keep on going and keep on understanding that every season might require something of us, but we have to keep on following God's direction. Don't get too comfortable, too settled in whatever you are, you know, in right now, that you lose sight of where you are supposed to be. So no matter what, know that your situation, you know, is not permanent, and because God is with you, He will keep leading you no matter what, you know, life might bring. So keep on trusting Him, keep on holding on to Him. Don't let that situation that you're in right now make you lose sight of where you are supposed to be. So that is my encouragement for you today. We have an amazing episode ahead of us today. I have two guests, and we are going to be talking about Christian dating. This is it's very intimidating, actually, because it's something that I deliberately felt like I didn't want to talk about, but I understand that it's so important for us to talk about these things. In as much as relationships are always talked about, I think there is never too much light. You know, there is so much light that needs to go forth in the world. So I'm so excited about today's discussion, what you are going to learn. Please make sure to tell somebody after you listen. And yeah, so we'll see you on the other side, or hear you on the other side, whatever. Okay. See ya. Hi everyone, my name is Impala Kasumba, and this is the podcast Navigating Life with God. So, today's episode is really special. We are going to be talking about Christian dating. Ironic enough, this episode is published during the Valentine weekend, which is not deliberate. Like, we have been planning this for some time. But I am so excited, and I am not going to be talking about this alone. I have two amazing guests joining me. And before we get right into the discussion, I will allow them to introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. My name is Bukata Chavi. I'm a fourth-year law student at the University of Lusaka. I'm a Christian, and I'm single.
Hi, my name is Kasatila Makumba, and I'm also a fourth-year law student at UNILAS. Also a proud Christian, and very much single.
Okay, so guys and girls, I ask you to be, you know, ready, just in case you find something here, okay? Okay, so before we get right into the conversation, I just have a little, you know, something to ask these guys. What's their, you know, type is, right? Based on different things, you know? So I will start with ladies first, right? Bukata, tall, short guy.
Anyone taller than me is fine.
Light or dark?
Dark.
Slim or muscular?
Muscular.
She's probably describing Kasasila, but who knows? Zambian or foreigner?
I think both.
Okay. Same career or different?
Doctor, I think, is admirable. Lawyer is a definite yes. Anything beyond that, we can discuss somewhere in it.
Okay. Kasatila, you're 10. Tall or short?
Both.
This guy is playing it.
No, because I used to like short girls.
Okay.
But then I'm currently pursuing someone taller than me. So I can't, you know, shoot myself in the foot.
Girls, okay, sorry, too bad. Next time, okay? Light or dark?
Both.
Slim or curvy?
Curvy.
Zambian or foreigner?
Just African.
Same career or different?
I think if she makes enough money, I don't really care about the career.
Wow. I like that. Okay, so let us get into the discussion, right? So we're talking Christian dating, and I think we're living in an age where there are all sorts of relationships really now. And I think I was even nervous talking about relationships because I felt like I am so unqualified and whatnot. But one thing I'm learning is there's just so many people talking about relationships. It's very important for us as Christians to be deliberate about spreading the light and speaking the truth, right? So what would you guys, in your personal opinions, define a Christian relationship as? Is it a relationship where I go to church maybe whenever I want? Or, you know, how does God have to be centered in that relationship? And be very practical about it, you know? Yeah. Whoever will take the first go.
Okay, so Christian dating. Of course, I think people already know that dating already is not mentioned in the Bible and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a concept that we have come to adopt even in the church now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think dating should be progressional. The end goal should be marriage.
Mm.
So if you're not ready for marriage, or you are not seeing or foreseeing that you get married to the person that you want to date, then I think then there's a lack of purpose there, because why you're dating is because you should have marriage at the end, as the end goal. So that's the purpose of the whole dating process. If you're doing it for fun, then you end up having problems with your other person, and
Yeah,
there's all those issues that come about, but the purpose mainly is marriage.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
For me, what I would say is just God and Christ has to be the center of what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going to define a Christian relationship, because you're Christian first,
mm-hmm.
and then all these other things come first.
Mm.
I mean, come second, rather.
Yeah.
Because you hear the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness,
mm-hmm.
and all these things shall be added unto you. So from that scripture, you always have to put God first.
Mm.
And even as you're dating, you have to have the mindset of, okay, are we doing this to honor God? What are we doing out of this? What's the goal?
Mm.
Is God at the center? You have to ask yourself the hard questions.
Yeah. I like that. I like what both of you have said. And, you know, I think I just want you even to talk on, you know, how almost everyone, okay, not everyone, but majority of people, not just Zambian, subscribe to Christianity. So there's probably someone who is listening to this and saying, but you know, I go to church, you know, I know John 3 verse 16, so I kind of know the Bible, right? And they want to get in a relationship, or they are in a relationship. And for them, as long as they have that background, they are deeming them being in a Christian relationship. So my question is, what does it really entail, even on a personal level, as someone who's going to say, I'm in a Christian relationship, and what really will it look like?
Okay, so based off of the question the person is asking themselves, they're saying, I go to church and then they want to be in a Christian relationship, or they would aspire to be in a Christian relationship. I think the very fact that you are now justifying your Christianity from the basis or the point of view that you go to church is going to bring problems, because pursuing a Christian relationship may not be easy if you're coming from that kind of point of view, because you also have to have the correct Christian values for yourself. You have to have Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And then you are a living sacrifice from that point on. It means every day you're going to choose God. And in every decision, you're going to have to put God at the center of everything. So I think for that person, first do a self-evaluation before you even think about a Christian relationship. Because when you get into a Christian relationship and your significant other person says, no, I have to go to the conference, we can't go out on this date, it's going to hurt you. But if you realize that pursuing God first, even in your relationship, even yourself personally, is more important, then I think it becomes easier. Yeah.
Oh, okay. For me, I'd say it's, I think you mentioned this, which is putting Christ first. So I think every day you come against temptations of all sorts, because you'll be in each other's space. Maybe you find you're alone. So in a Christian relationship, you always have to protect each other and protect yourself. Because just because you're Christian and you know John 3:16 doesn't mean temptation or sin can creep in. So that's one thing you have to be wary about as a Christian in a Christian relationship. Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to add.
I love that. I love what you guys are saying. And let's just go back a bit, because even before you get in a relationship, I think preparation is everything. So what ways then do you think someone who, because I feel like many times with the culture that we're living in, honestly, I feel like some people just wake up and want to be in a relationship. So what ways do you think people should prepare? What steps does someone need to take to ensure that, okay, even if at some point I want to date a Christian guy or a Christian girl, I should also be doing some work of my own to prepare?
Okay, so when it comes to preparation for a relationship, from personal experience and also from listening to several very spiritual leaders, reading several books, I think the very first thing you need to do when you want to be in a relationship is pursue God for yourself first. It's not really, you're not really pursuing God so that you can end up in that relationship, but you're pursuing God so that you can understand, first of all, your identity, you can understand who you are in Christ, you can know your vision, you know, because it is through intimacy with God that you get to have these things, you know, revealed to you. You get to know what you're here on earth for. So I think the first thing you need to do is pursue God. And I've learned one thing recently, it's that intimacy with God is the best place to conceive something that will last the test of time, or something that will actually even last centuries or everlasting. I mean, we have an everlasting God. So it is through intimacy with God that all these things will stand the test of time. And even a relationship that is as a result of intimacy with God, you will be able to stand trials and tribulations, because when the two of you can't manage situations, just the two of you, you can turn to your God, and then, you know, he will restore the love you have for each other, and you'll be able to build it up from there. So that's the first thing I would say. Then the second thing is also build your character. I think there's a lot of emphasis on no, the perfect man that you want, especially for the ladies, have your list and all that. But you should also be able to match up to your list. Don't just expect a God-fearing man when you're not God-fearing yourself. Don't expect a hardworking man when you're not hardworking on your own. I think we misunderstand that aspect of dating, where you just want to have high expectations for your partner. But build your character also. How do you relate with other people? Are you kind? Are you gentle? You know, there's all that. And that's what you should do in preparation for dating. And for ladies, that is your posture in your waiting season, because you are waiting to be found by your significant other person. So those are the two things I would say would be helpful. The last thing also is pursue purpose. It is in purpose that you will be able to meet your partner. For most people that I know, they were not just waiting for a relationship. No, he must find me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The people whose love stories I admire are the people who found themselves pursuing God in terms of purpose, in terms of service and all that. And then they ended up finding their significant other person. So those three things are what you do as you wait, are what you do as you prepare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, what I would say is, okay, well, she really covered all the bases.
Yeah.
But I would emphasize on character development, mm-hmm. especially as a man.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready to lead.
Yeah.
So you can't expect to be in a relationship if you're a guy
mm.
and you're not ready to take responsibility
mm-hmm.
for yourself and for her.
Yeah.
Since you have to be the head, you know.
Yeah.
And another thing is, I think just that anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, actually, another thing is you also have to check your heart.
Mm.
You have to gauge your motives. Why do you want to be in a relationship?
Mm.
Is it mm-hmm. for sure? Is it to impress? Because in scripture you find you ask God for things, but you won't have them because your motives are bad.
Yeah.
So you need to know, are your motives good? What do you want from this?
Mm.
Yeah.
I really like that as well. So now, even just basing off what Bukata said, I think even you mentioned its character is very important. And I think the world, as you even talked about lists and whatnot, so I'm going to put you guys on the spot again.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you, what are you guys looking for in a partner? And this is not a question just to put you on the spot, because as Christians yourself, I think it's very important, even for someone who'll be listening, to say, what does that look like? You know, because there are people who think Christian dating is maybe just boring because they've limited it to, you know, we'll just be in church all day, maybe we're just serving, you know. So I want you guys to describe what you want in a partner so that someone out there can like have a picture.
I'll let Cass go first then.
Oh, okay, for me,
yeah.
I think the most important thing is our relationship with God. I'd like to know what's your status when it comes to the things of God.
Okay.
Yeah, and someone who's kind, patient, understanding, and someone willing.
Mm.
And when I say willing, it's because, you know, when the bumps come along the road, are they willing to stick with you? Are they willing to fight? Have you committed to each other?
Yeah.
And someone who's not looking for something fanciful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Okay. I like that.
Okay, so my list.
She emphasized list.
The funny thing is, I actually don't have a list at the moment. I'm just in the process of making it because I decided to scrape off everything that I had before because of everything now that I have learned, because it's taken a lot of learning and unlearning certain things in terms of singleness and being a Christian single person and what that means, and finding also purpose in singleness as well. So I scraped everything off, and right now there's only one on the list because I thought everything else I had before was quite superficial. So there's one God-fearing as of now. So I'm still trying to make a list, actually. I'm trying to be intentional about it. Yeah, so, the list is still in the making.
What things were on your list? I'm curious.
What things were on my list? Okay, so, this is so embarrassing, but okay. One of the things on my list was just someone older, really. And the older definition, I won't say for the sake of the podcast and everybody else listening, but yeah, that was one of them. And then, you know, I had to have a process of unlearning. Why did I even want someone who was older? You know what I mean? So it was something I had to unlearn, and it was founded on very wrong emotions. You know, why you want security, why you want safety and all those things. So God told me, I'm like, okay, I scraped it off, and was still, you know, in the making. But probably God fearing comes along with being kind, being gentle, being loving.
Thank you guys for sharing your lists on the podcast. Okay, This question I would actually want you to start answering, Kasatila.
Okay.
How do you know your self-worth in a relationship? And I'm asking this question because even when it comes to self-worth, I think many times it's mostly projected on the female side. Like, you should know your self-worth and whatnot. And I was recently listening to a conversation between this man and a woman on Instagram Live, where he was talking about how he went on a date with this woman, and a few minutes after coming and knowing that he had spent money, the woman just says, "No, I have to leave. I have another commitment." And now he thought, "But you knew that I had scheduled the date, and you knew that I had spent money for us to come here, and then all of a sudden you tell me that you're leaving." And he spoke of how important it is even for guys to know their self-worth. So I think we mostly see it on the female perspective, so I want you to talk about it from the male perspective side.
Well, I think the answer is usually the same. It's who you are in Christ. Because in the world, you will be controlled by the world. Whatever the world tells you is what you believe of yourself, and the world can tell you a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
And in the world, you find a lot of men are depressed, unhappy. So when you get to know who you are in Christ, daily affirmations, getting to build yourself up, it's very much, it's easier for you as a guy. And then your self-worth is built, your character is built. Yeah, you just have to be intentional about everything that you do as a man, because it's really not easy being a man, especially in this world that we're living in.
So then with that, how easy is it for you to deal with, you know, I always feel like there's a higher weight placed on guys in the sense that, you know, you have to be the one courteous enough to pay the bills and open the doors and whatnot. So how does self-worth play in that sense? Because you have to take that responsibility. Do you keep on, you know, pursuing, or you at some point have to back off and just say you're not worth my time because you don't appreciate even the things that I'm doing?
Well, when it comes to situations like that, the person that you pursue also has to be, has to be, you have to be on the same page, because usually girls that like you or the right type of people won't put so much pressure on you. They'll give you the right amount of pressure for your level. If you're a student, you can't expect someone to, you know, start getting into debt just to give you the life that you want. So even as yourself, you have to have the worst to realize that, okay, this is beyond me. I just need to back off. I can't manage this. And the other people, you know, who can, you find other women will be like, "Oh no, let's go half, or let me pay the tip," or, you know.
So that's not intimidating, right? It's never like,
Well, as a man, obviously you'd always want to pay, and you'd always want to treat her in a certain way. But I feel, for me personally, when someone offers to pay for a tip, or says, "Oh, let me take you out,"
yeah,
it makes me feel good. Probably I'll say, "No, I got this."
Yeah.
But just the initiative makes you feel good as a guy.
Okay.
It shows that there's also some effort on her side. Yeah.
I think also with Christian dating, I think we should be very intentional about not letting the world set the standards for our relationships. Because I think the reasoning behind what you've just talked about in terms of if the woman should pay, or how much all that would cost and whatnot for the guy pursuing and everything, is because we've kind of adopted the worldly standard, and then we're trying to ask ourselves all these questions. I don't think it would be a bad idea for the woman to pay, you know what I mean? Once in a while, on his birthday, you know what I mean? Like, once in a while, treat him nice. And I think there's this worldly perspective girls have adopted, like, he should pay, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially if, you know, like, generally females, just like, he should pay, he should be the one spending and all that. But You know, when you learn to love, you know, as God pours into your heart and you learn to love others, you won't be asking yourself such questions.
Yeah.
I think that's why relationship is very important,
mm-hmm.
because you are not self-seeking in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then even your motives will be different.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to be, you know, in love with the person,
yeah.
and enjoy being with the person.
I love that. I love that. These guys are dropping some really good stuff. Thank you, you guys. The other question is the importance of communication, and I'm going to give it a context. I think I was recently listening to a conversation among some women, and they were talking about how when we keep things to ourselves, they are in the dark, and it's why the enemy has easy access to our mind, because he begins to play with those thoughts. But when you bring out something in the light, God, you are allowing God to have power over that thought, in the sense that if you tell a friend, meaning that you have an accountability partner, so your friends can easily tell you, no, don't think that way of yourself, don't do this, don't do that. And I think even when we bring in people who get, and this happens as well, I believe, even amongst Christians who fall into the prayer of, you know, premarital sex, I think many times it's because certain conversations aren't being had, being open about today is not a good day for me, let's video call and whatnot. And I think a lot of conversations are just not had. So I want you to speak on communication and why it's important even in a Christian relationship, and not just the surface. Do you read your John 3 verse 16, but those like hard core conversations?
Okay. I think for communication there's actually a number of scriptures on it, but then, you know, sometimes in the moment when you're angry with the other person or whatever has happened, it might not be your first point of call. So I think it's also how you establish your level of communication in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
which is different. I was listening to a couple recently on Facebook, I think it was a video, where they said when they're angry with each other, they decided that they won't say anything, they'll just hold hands, you know? And then for them, that's me reminding the other person that I love you, and even if I say something in anger, I still love you, you know what I mean? And for them, it works, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Of course, they said they have their ups and downs, and that, I think, for communication, how you choose to communicate will be depending
mm-hmm.
on you. Of course, it just has to be healthy, because
mm-hmm.
some people will go, like, give you the silent treatment and they want you to guess and all that.
Yeah.
But then I think communication is very important. And besides, the Bible says, you cannot sleep while you're angry with someone, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I think that's a very important principle to adopt in a relationship, where you make sure before you go to bed, you make amends. And I think that's one thing I've noticed, even from my friends, that helps them when they have, like, disagreements with their significant other person, or, you know, when she steps on your foot and
mm-hmm.
all that. Having communication is very important, and have it in a healthy way. If it means you actually having a physical conversation, which is better for you, then I think, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I'd say in a relationship, words unspoken are like poison. In the sense that when you keep things to yourself, you think about them, the devil can manipulate it, it becomes bigger. By the time you even want to say it, maybe 6 months later, you don't even understand your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really... It's not even proportional to what happened
mm-hmm.
in the first instance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say communication is very, very key.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also say, if you're in an argument, I don't think you really need to be right to apologize. I find it better just to... You know, you just make amends.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, because in an instance where I'm dating Ukata and I'm like, no, I was right, and I'm in her face, and she's not happy.
Yeah,
I've won, but I've put her down. But I'll still have to come back to Ukata
mm-hmm.
the next day. I'll still have to call her, or
mm-hmm.
if I have a problem, I'll still have to confide in her. So you're not really winning by putting your significant other down.
Yeah,
so that's what I would say.
I like everything that you guys are saying. Really, communication holds a relationship together. And I think also learning how to communicate in a way your partner understands, because these are things that, you know, it's not always, you can be communicating to them, but you're not speaking in the way that for them they are getting what you're saying. And I think I recently heard someone say, what you say and how you deliver it to someone is your responsibility. Because if I want to communicate that I love you, but then I say it in an aggressive way that you won't even get what I'm saying, then I am at fault. So we have to also learn to be deliberate about, you know, communicating in the way that the person will receive what I'm saying. And I think even in a Christian relationships, really communicating about everything, our struggles. I think many times the reasons why people fall into temptations of premarital sex, because you didn't say that, okay, you know, being this close will harm me. Or, you know, certain things just go so unspoken. And I think sometimes it's because you think, well, I'm Christian. If I say this, then I'll look like, you know, there's something wrong with me. And I think it's really important for people who are in relationships to speak about those things, because this is a person, like you said, Bukata, someone who you see yourself with after some time. So the level of honesty really from there just has to keep on growing. If there's a break in communication, if you cannot even have a proper conversation with that person or be honest about how you feel, then it will really be hard for you to say, this is a person I see myself settling down with in life. Yeah. So, you know how dating as well is just, it's like this room with doors on every side that you can walk in and walk out of however you like, right? And we're talking about Christian dating. Do you think that just because dating is something that you can enter, come out, like they're not really, there's no certificate, or maybe they should introduce that, I don't know. But, but do you know, to say you made a certain level of commitment, and I think from the number of girls that I've really spoken to, you know, they'll tell you like he made this manifesto, he bought these amazing roses and whatnot. But, you know, 2 weeks later, 5 weeks later, he's like, I'm done. And, you know, not just to paint guys in a bad picture, but even girls, you know, these days you see 1 week in, 1 week out, she's done, moved on to the next. So do you think that for a Christian, it's that open-ended thing of you can get in, you can get out?
Well, for me, what I think is better to solve such a problem is having accountability. Mm-hmm. So you'll find, in an instance, if you're dating a girl,
mm-hmm.
if your pastor knows about it, you don't want to mess up and you go back to church. You know, you have to, wear a hoodie. Or if you let your parents in on it, or you have people that can check up, or how's this going?
Okay.
I feel like the level of commitment is even raised, because you don't want to disappoint these people, and you know, it just puts you in line.
Yeah.
So I think that's what can solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
For that one, I think I've learned from my pastor that even if certain things are not expressly said in the Bible, you can understand how much value God places on our purpose and our time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to keep moving from one person to another, you're already attaching emotions to that. And, you know, the Bible says guard your heart. So how are you going to guard your heart? You're not going to move in from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it takes very deliberate and intentional steps of setting your boundaries and all that, because of how easily you can fall in like with a person and be in a dating situation with a person.
Yeah.
So I think when you understand how much value you have in God's eyes, it becomes very difficult to end up here and there. You know what I mean? And then also, like Cass said, where you have mentorship, it becomes very difficult for you to be in and out of a relationship because you need to be accountable and transparent about how things are going and what you're doing. And yeah, pretty much I think that's what I would say.
Okay, I like that. And I think it's so true what you guys are saying, because once you open up to someone who you know, someone who you intend to emulate in life, you don't want to let them down, which helps you hold this person, you know, and give them the commitment that they deserve, right? Is it possible for a couple that probably has started out, you know, doing being in a relationship at their own terms, and maybe they decide to say, I want to change. Is it possible for them to become a Christian couple? Or maybe they have to just split and go and discover God for themselves, and then maybe, if life allows them, they come back.
I think for that one, I have one comment only. When you receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you begin your walk and growing in your relationship with God, you discover so much about yourself that you didn't know before. You know, you get to grow and understand how much God loves you, how much you're supposed to love others. You know, you begin to understand what God's word means for you in terms of how you relate with other people, your family, and your purpose, your vision for your life, what that should look like. So that may be a very different, in fact, that's very different from what you obviously thought in the beginning. So it would be possible, yes, but then I think when you begin to discover your purpose in God, it might lead you to drift apart from your other person. And then also, I think if your level of pursuing God and relationship with God is different, you definitely drift apart, because you come to realization of certain things that will make you view life differently. Maybe you even question the foundation of your relationship and all that. So it's possible, yes, if you want to pursue God together. There have been some few examples here and there. But then I think it's more likely that in your discovering of purpose and vision, and as you grow in relationship with God, you tend to realize that this person is actually not the one that's for you. Yeah.
Okay. I think I would agree with her. I'd really say it depends, really. Because you'd find maybe in an instance you're both growing together and you're both pursuing Christ. So it could work out in that sense. But in an instance where, because I think as a Christian, you always have to let God's will prevail. So if it's not His will, you would have to let it go.
Okay, thank you, you guys. One last question, and this is the last time I'll be putting you on the spot.
It's a spot question.
Okay, I think at different times you both mentioned how you've grown in your understanding of, you know, your walk with God and being a Christian. So what toxic traits really can you say you've had before? If you had been in a relationship earlier, or you were in a relationship, you guys, they're cringing, that you have changed. Let me start.
Okay, she's starting. She's breaking the ice.
Yeah, let me break the ice. For me, I think it was the whole issue of submission, which was always for me growing up. I think it limited women to slaves, and I remember being young and thinking I can never be a slave, you know. So I think I have grown in understanding what that is, what the Bible entails, even when we are called to submit to our husbands as the female gender, and I have learned it from a healthy place. So, yeah, mine is definitely submission.
Ladies first.
Okay. I won't necessarily talk about the toxic traits I had. Okay, maybe I will highlight them as I talk about what I have learned. Okay, so the first thing is I lacked mentorship. I lacked mentorship. And for me, yes, I would go to church, not, I mean, pastor's daughter here, but whatnot. I lacked mentorship. I lacked someone to be accountable to, someone to talk to about even the dreams that I had concerning the people and all that. But I lacked mentorship. And because I lacked mentorship, I did anything and everything, you know what I mean, in a relationship and whatnot. So that's one thing I think I would emphasize. Get mentorship, guys. Have someone you're accountable to. Have someone you can talk to about your relationship, and that will help you so, so much. Because having, I feel like relationships is on the heart of God as well, even though the secular world will paint it some type of way, but it's also on the heart of God. I mean, it involves you and He loves you, so that's one thing. Second thing is have good counsel. Your friends should be able to give you good advice. Not just that Buddha, no on what, no. Have friends that will tell you and call you out for the things you're doing wrong, and also encourage you also and praise you for the things you're doing right. And it serves you a lot when you know that your friend is giving you spirit-filled advice. You know what I mean? So those two, I think, would be the things I lacked. That's why I had toxic relationship and, you know, was a toxic person at some point. But yeah, those two things.
Well, for me, I feel like when I was in relationships, I wasn't ready as a man. So things were just happening. I wasn't in control. So it was just according to how I felt and not what was right. So I think that was a problem that I had. And then in being single, getting mentorship, just reflecting on what happened in the past.
I'm telling you.
You know what I'm saying?
It seems like these guys have history.
Yeah, you learn from your past, you think about it, you go to church, you just find that it's a relationship Sunday, you take some notes, you know, it really helps me. So I think that's one thing for me.
Oh, and I forgot one thing. Ladies, have defined boundaries. Oh, that applies to gents too, but have, you know, it's so sad, I must mention that this is only the time when I'm having like very certain defined boundaries. So you can imagine what the past has looked like. And those boundaries, of course, have been grown and formed out of, you know, taking time to be intentional in terms of listening to podcasts, listening to sermons, you know what I mean? Very intentional. And I've realized, like, I didn't have boundaries. Like, of course, you have, no, me, I have principles and I don't do that, I don't do this. But the day of trial and tribulation, you just find yourself doing the wrong thing. So when you have boundaries that you can defend and convictions and values that you can defend as a result of your relationship with God, it becomes easier to not fall prey to sexual relations and whatnot. So have boundaries. If it means not calling anyone after 21, don't call them. Those are your boundaries. So have defined boundaries. And I think another thing I would say is we all feel like we have values and principles until they are tested. So if there are values and principles that you can't defend and that you are not convicted in, then those are not your values and principles. That's, those are just so your good preferences. So on a bad day, you might decide to do something else.
Wow. That's so good. I like that. Thank you guys for being so vulnerable. Thank you so much. I think this would definitely help everyone who listen, you guys. I cannot thank you enough. You have no idea what these guys have had to do for this to happen, but I really thank you. Definitely, we're not speaking as experts, but we are using what we have learned, and yeah, definitely, I pray that this will bless someone. So, guys, closing remarks, anything you have to say?
You can go first.
I think I can go first. Well, I think if you're out there and you're wondering, I've been in and out of a relationship, I need to find myself, find yourself in Christ. If you're out there and you're thinking, oh, I see so many memes about relationships, is it very bad like that? Don't let the world be your standard. Once you find yourself redefining what relationships are, in God. No matter what has happened in the past, whatever your skeletons are, there's always healing in God. And He's, as much as He's the God of the end and the beginning, He's also the God of process. So if you want to go through a healing process, you want to go through a redefining moment, there is always, everything I can say, you will find in God. And once you have God, there's nothing anybody else will tell you to question who God is to you. And you'll be find it easier to have a relationship that's, you know, amazing and loving. And you know, all those beautiful things like roses and Valentine's Day and flowers and what?
Chocolates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think I'll just advise people to take their time. You don't need to rush. There's no stopwatch, no clock that tells you that you have to get into this immediately. And yeah, of course, seeking God, because all the problems, all the answers, they you find them solved there, and you find your answers there with God. So yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys. I am definitely blessed, and I have definitely heard some really good stuff that I think I too can learn from, and I bet many others will learn from. Please remember to share, you know, tell somebody, to tell another person, to tell their sisters, cousins, neighbors, uncles, aunties, whoever, to listen in, so that we can all get navigating life with God in this season. Till next week with another amazing episode. It's bye for now.